Hello, everybody, and a warm Happy New Year to all of you. Welcome to our New Year's gathering, Activating the Energy of Awakening, the Miraculous Power of an Undivided Heart. I'm Craig Hamilton, and I am delighted to be here with you. Thank you for setting aside this time to come and join with our global subscriber community in convening this new year. Now, I don't know how you relate to the turn of a new year or the idea of New Year's resolutions, intention setting. It's something most of us have tried at some point in our lives, and maybe some of us it's a ritual every year. Others, we kind of have thought, well, maybe what's the point? I can make an intention or set a new resolution anytime. But I do want to point out that research, social science research on behavior change, strongly supports the idea that using a key date to make a major commitment, intention, resolution is helpful, that it makes it much more likely that we'll follow through on that, that it gives it weight and meaning, not in any celestial or metaphysical sense, but just in a sense that it means something. It means more to us. It tends to mean more to us somehow when we do it on a key juncture, whether it's our birthday or even a new month or a change of seasons, you know, a meaningful date for us. But given all the research behind that, I thought it'd be worth coming together and considering what it would mean for all of us and for each of us to make the most of this moment that we are in. And I'm very excited because it's a new thing for me, and I love doing new things, and I'm going to dig deeper into just, you know, how does intention setting work? What kinds of intentions really matter? And more importantly, what does intention setting really have to do with the spiritual path, the path to spiritual enlightenment? So that's what we're here to do together. The way it's going to work is that I'll first just lead us in a brief opening meditation and reflection. Then I'll spend about 30 or 40 minutes creating the context for the practices for the workshop session that this will be. I'll speak about the significance of having a profound intention behind our spiritual practice, about how we can leverage the power of our choice, our will, our inherent freedom, and even the power of New Year's resolutions to generate momentum on our spiritual path. And after I've done that, I'll spend about 40 minutes guiding us all through a process of intention setting that has several components to it. So I won't summarize all of it now, but it's essentially a process of really clarifying our, you know, what it is we're really doing here on this planet. What is our life really about? What's the most meaningful and significant thing? And what would it mean for us to make that most significant thing the front and center of our life every day? So that will be our process here. That's my goal here. So I now just want to invite you to settle into a brief moment of reflection, of meditation, with all of us here. Join me in taking a few deep, slow breaths. Letting go of anything that's on your mind or your to-do list. Allowing yourself to just be fully present here in this moment now, gathering all of your energy and attention for this 90 minutes that we have together. And as you settle ever more deeply into this moment with each breath, I want to invite you to connect with the deepest part of why you came here today. what is drawing you to participate in a gathering about spiritual awakening? And I don't just mean the, you know, oh, it sounded like a good idea, or, you know, I like listening to Craig, or, you know, whatever more, you know, kind of surface kind of thing prompted you to come here. But on the very deepest level, what is propelling you on your path? What is propelling you to set aside time to deepen your spiritual path, to lean toward the immense possibility of awakening? Just allow yourself to become present to that deeper impulse arising from somewhere beyond the mind, somewhere you probably don't fully understand, yet that calls to you again and again, imploring you, compelling you to keep reaching toward the ultimate, or toward your ultimate potential. Allow yourself to feel this deeper longing and to see if you can notice it in your heart, if you can feel it broadly in the region of your heart. It doesn't matter if you feel it in your heart. It's not critical or important that you do, but just for some of us, we can really sense this deep burning in the heart, this fire to awaken, to go beyond the familiar and the ordinary, to step into a great mystery. To live our life in profound alignment with the sacred, whatever that means to us. Now, as you're connecting with this, I want to also invite you to become aware of the collective intention that's already here between us, the field of intention. We are in a very unique gathering of human beings. This is a gathering of people who all feel that it is an immense priority in their lives, in our lives, to spiritually awaken. To embody the supreme awakened consciousness that is our highest potential, and to manifest and express that in the world. Again, I'm sure it's different for each of us. We're not all going to see that or feel that or relate to that in the same way, but just feel the collective power of being a global community of awakening just for this gathering this evening. And again, you don't have to feel it in a particular way. Some of us are more sensitive to subtle energy. Some of us are more sensitive to deep emotion. Some of us have very clear minds. Others of us are very prone to spiritual experience, and we just have to hear a few spiritual words and we're encountering the bliss of the supreme. We're all different, but just whatever it is for you, just be with this collective intention to awaken that's vibrating here now between us. and allow yourself to just let go and rest in it, not making any more effort to feel anything or sense anything or invoke anything. Simply be as you are, at rest. In the field of support that's here. A field of awakening that's here already. As we go through the rest of our journey here together today, I just want to invite you to allow this awareness of the group, this awareness of the deeper intention, to remain here as the background for everything we'll be exploring. Just let it be the background. And with that, we will go ahead and begin. So, we're gathered here to harness the power of the new year to generate a breakthrough on our spiritual path. Now, at the turn of the new year, obviously there might be all kinds of things that we want to change in our lives or intentions that we might want to set. There could be things related to our health, related to our career, our finances, our contribution to the world, our relationships, all these areas we might be setting intentions and creating resolutions. But I'm a spiritual teacher, and specifically a teacher of enlightenment or spiritual awakening. And so the kind of intention I want to focus on here is what it means to set an intention to awaken. So I'm going to just assume that you came here because you have a desire or intention to spiritually awaken. And my goal in this event is to guide you through a process of setting a powerful spiritual intention for this year. A profound intention to awaken that won't just be a kind of proclamation or resolution that you make with your mind. Because we've all done that, haven't we? I intend to awaken. As though merely saying the words or thinking the words had power. But this will, what we're aiming for here is something that's going to go far beyond that. And we're going to, my hope is that I can find a way to invoke and invite all of you to discover a deep and profound intention within yourself that's actually rooted in the energy of spiritual awakening itself. An intention that isn't drawn from just thoughts and feelings, but from the transcendent potency of enlightenment, of enlightened consciousness, and will therefore have sacred power to it. An intention that will really be a source of fuel for your spiritual practice, that will play out as an engine of profound transformation. As I mentioned in the invitation I sent out about this event, setting an intention to awaken isn't the same as other kinds of intentions or resolutions we might make. There are components of it that are the same, and I'll speak about those, but in the deepest sense, intending to awaken, having a goal of spiritual awakening, requires us to tap into something and to really even relate to the whole process in a very different way and on a very different order or level of our being. And to illustrate why this is, I want to speak a bit now about what I even mean by spiritual awakening or enlightenment, because these are big words. They're tossed about by many different people, and they mean many different things in different contexts. So it's only fair at an event where I'm going to be speaking about awakening to just take a moment to talk about what it means in this context. So when I'm speaking about spiritual awakening, I'm talking about the always surprising discovery of a profoundly sacred dimension of your own being that already exists fully formed right now. So this is not something we're generating. It's not something we're striving to achieve or add to the person we already are. The idea of spiritual awakening is that there is this mysterious, profound, luminous consciousness that's always already here. It's always already here, having the very experience of being you. But to the unenlightened mind and heart, it's not visible. It's not apparent. We don't see it. Or maybe we get glimpses of it, but even then we tend to not recognize it. So what the experience of this deeper dimension of who we are is itself a remarkable thing that really transforms our experience of being alive. But what's so extraordinary about it isn't just the experience of it, it's that this kind of super ordinary dimension of our being, when we discover it, when we learn how to embody it, it already contains all of the higher human virtues and remarkable capacities that we, many of us, spend our lives trying to cultivate, trying to develop. That there is this kind of host or suite of super capacities that already exist fully formed in our true self, our true nature. And awakening to that unleashes these capacities into the world. So just to give a few examples, because there's really dozens of examples, but a few examples of what I mean by that. So one of the things that's so remarkable about spiritual awakening is that there is a wisdom faculty or a wisdom component inherent in it, a kind of spontaneous, intuitive, knowing capacity that enables us to see directly and deeply into things, into people, into situations, into problems, to penetrate with kind of instant, holistic clarity into whatever is in front of us. There's also a capacity for a kind of deep feeling that goes far beyond ordinary emotion, a deep, holistic feeling ability for a kind of extraordinary love and almost superhuman kind of care and sensitivity to others, to our impact, to what's really most important. There's also a kind of blazing creativity and dynamism in awakened consciousness where it enables us to meet life challenges, whatever comes our way, with penetrating insight, with spontaneous innovation. And a very unique kind of problem-solving capacity. And there's also a a fluidity and flexibility and adaptability and responsiveness that comes from a very profound fundamental trust in the very depth that we're discovering. And this enables us to live in a very unusual way, where we're no longer just engaging, choosing, and acting from our thoughts and emotions, but we're aligning with and living from a depth of being and knowing that our mind can't even really understand or see. We're learning how to leave behind our identification with the mind, how to let go of control in a very specific way, and let this innocence and trust overtake us that enables us to kind of relax our grip on reality and just meet each moment with 100% of our presence and being, trusting that our whatever response comes forth will be what we need, and that we'll have the strength and the courage and the clarity and the care to meet whatever is in front of us. So there's this, we hear about letting go. Enlightenment is the ultimate letting go and allowing something else, a higher order of functioning, to occur within the same body, the same mind, the same person. You're still you, but you've made room for a super ordinary version, really, of you that is no longer, it's not tethered to the experiences of your past. It's not rooted in the accumulated knowledge of your life. It's not embedded in the emotional reactivity that has built up habit over the decades of your life. It's free of all of that. And when we can make room for it to fully flourish and fully begin to live our lives, we find ourselves living a completely different kind of life. It's a completely different experience of being alive. And it manifests as a very different kind of life. What we bring into the world through our actions is now of a different order, and it tastes and feels that way. And for those around us with the eyes to see and the ears to hear it, it activates them. So this is why spiritual enlightenment has been called the pearl beyond price. Why it's the discovery of the Holy Grail, because it is the answer, really, to the problems of the world. It's the answer to the struggles of the human condition. And if enough human beings were to awaken to this and begin to live in this way, the momentum, the ripples of our awakening would transform the world. It couldn't help it. The power, the clarity, the light, the love, the wisdom that could be unleashed, that is unleashed when anyone awakens, and yet could be compounded and multiplied through many of us doing so, would be beyond imagination. Now, before I go on, I just said an awful lot. So I just want to invite you to just take a moment in yourself to just kind of let that digest, let that settle in. Sense the parts of that that spoke to you or that rang true to you. You may have had experiences of awakening that were resonant with some of the things I shared, or maybe some of the things I shared kind of evoked something for you that you hadn't experienced, but you could see the potential of. So just be with your own, shake out of that. Let it kind of shake out in your own psyche for a moment and come to rest in whatever part of it was meaningful to you. So I've been speaking about something here that is, that I hope you can sense with me, is it's a very mysterious event. It's a kind of miraculous, mysterious, subtle occurrence in the human psyche, in the human life. Many things we're doing, you know, like I talked about, the kinds of resolutions we might be making are very concrete. I'm going to eat healthier. I'm going to exercise more. I'm going to save more of my paycheck. You know, whatever. Concrete things. But I hope you can sense, just in tuning into what spiritual awakening is with me, that it's not quite the same kind of thing where you could just say, okay, this is a year of my spiritual awakening. This is the year that I'm going to spiritually awaken. And why not? Because inherent in it, there is a dimension of this that is, it's beyond our mind, and it's beyond anything we can envision. And it's even beyond our emotional world. So it's really, and it's beyond the self we've known ourselves to be, the story we've had up to this point. So how could we just choose it? We can't even see how to choose that, right? It doesn't feel within our control. And if you have that sense, I want to sponsor that and say you're absolutely right about a big part of it. And what I mean is that while we can't simply make a New Year's resolution to awaken this year, there is an aspect of awakening that really is within our power. I don't want to say within our control. It's probably not controllable in quite that way. But in other words, it's something that our power to choose, our will, our resolve can really impact. So there's an aspect of spiritual life that we can do a lot about, that really is something we can actively engage, participate in, and propel, and that our resolutions can really make a difference in. And then there's an aspect that just requires us to go deeper than all of that. And so because I want this to be a holistic intention setting gathering here at the new year, I want to speak about both of those parts. So let me talk about some things you can resolve to do this year. And by the way, all of this is setting the context for the process we're going to go through later. So I'll be guiding you in a process related to everything I'm talking about. So you don't need to try to, you know, take a lot of notes and capture all this. We'll be moving through it together. So, things you can do, things you can resolve to do and choose to do that will support your awakening. Spiritual practice is something we can resolve to do, and then we can enact that resolution. We can do it. You can make a New Year's resolution to meditate every single day for the next year, or every day for the next decade if you want to be bold about it. And I encourage you to do that. I encourage you to make a resolution to meditate every day. But we'll do that later. You could also make a New Year's resolution to engage in more spiritual study and learning, to take a transformational course or attend a spiritual retreat or workshop of some kind. To join a spiritual gathering that convenes on a regular basis. You know, that's again the kind of thing you say, you know, I'm doing that this year, and then you do it. And that is very much going to depend on your will and your willingness to choose and align with that decision. And no doubt that decision made now is going to impact what happens in your spiritual life this year, just like that decision to plant your stake in a spiritual practice and say, I'm going to practice every day, or I'm going to meditate every day. So So those are a couple of the very concrete things, and you could add to that list pretty easily, I'm sure. Now, but it doesn't stop there, because see, as your self-knowledge grows, meaning if you have a degree of self-knowledge of really knowing yourself, knowing how you tick, knowing your patterns and habits, which a lot of us, if not most of us, do now because we've done a lot of psychological and spiritual work on ourselves for a long time. So if you've got some self-knowledge, you can make a New Year's resolution to leave behind a negative inner habit that you know is blocking your spiritual growth and awakening. If you know that about yourself. For instance, a lot of us have an inner voice of self-judgment, self-criticism, self-doubt that we habitually listen to, don't we? We have this voice, and we know that it stops us from taking healthy risks in our life, from moving forward in all kinds of ways, from attempting great things, including spiritual awakening. A voice that says, you're not good enough for that, you're not smart enough for that, you're not pure enough for that, you don't have what it takes. And we listen to it, and then it stops us. And that's just one example, but it's a common one, so I'm using it. Now, that or any other inner pattern or habit that we know is bogus. We know it's a racket. We know we shouldn't keep listening to it. We know it's time to move beyond. You can make a resolution to not listen to that voice any longer, to not heed that voice. It doesn't mean you're not gonna, you might still have all those self-destructive feelings or voice or thoughts. But you can say, this year, I'm done. I'm not listening anymore. I'm going to live in possibility consciousness. And whenever that voice of limitation comes knocking at my door, I'm going to say, oh, hi, you again. I'm not interested. I gave it the gave it the office. No, I guess people don't really collect donations door to door anymore. Anyway, you get the idea. Yeah. We can make a resolution to leave a pattern behind, and then we can really act and live into that resolution every day. And as our path deepens even more, as we get deeper into the spiritual path, we start to have some spiritual experience. We start to maybe even have awakening experiences where we're really discovering our true nature beyond the mind. And what it's like to align with that. Once we start to have that kind of depth of experience, a whole nother order of choice opens up to us. Now you can consciously choose to start to align your life with that spiritual depth that you're discovering. You start to develop an inner with spiritual experience and awakening, a kind of inner GPS system is born. A new navigation instrument starts to activate in your psyche. You start to be able to sense very directly what's been called in traditions the way, with a capital W. Not, you know, the way like the Ten Commandments way. The way, meaning the way to live in each moment that is aligned with and in harmony with the sacred, with the deeper order of things, with your own true being, with your own awakening, even simply. You start to feel this choice is in alignment. When I say these words, when I take these actions, the doors of awakening open further. I get more in touch with my deepest self and being beyond the mind. When I do these things, I get less in touch with it. It falls away again. Oh, so I have to keep listening and sensing and following this. So in other words, we start to have the ability to choose freedom, to choose awakening. The more we awaken, the more freedom we have to choose it. that's something you could resolve. You know, you could harness the power of your resolve in the new year and say, this year, I am choosing to align with this. And this, by the way, is we'll come back to a bit later in the next section because it deepens. But my point is, though, is that the number of places where we have concrete choices to make deepens as our path deepens. Now, in addition to those more concrete things, it's also possible to engage in spiritual practices that directly open the door to awakened consciousness by doing the practice. Now, that is not all spiritual practices. There are countless spiritual practices that would be considered kind of preparatory practices where we're doing the practice with the idea that it's kind of cultivating positive qualities in us, or it's preparing us for a future moment of awakening. But there are practices. It's possible to meditate in a way that gives you access to awakening during the meditation. And many of you are familiar with the meditation process that I've developed that I call the practice of direct awakening, which is a meditation practice based on the recognition that awakened consciousness is something we can practice in meditation because it has discernible characteristics and qualities that are the natural way that our true nature, our awakened self, shows up, and that we can practice those characteristics and qualities, those ways of being, very directly. And when we do, it enables us to experience and access awakened consciousness immediately and directly. So that is a practice that we can do, and you could resolve to do it, and you could commit to do it, and you could do it, and you would be daily in your meditation inviting awakened consciousness to show up and meditate you. And that's the kind of, again, resolution that would have a great impact on your growth and development over the course of the year. And since I've been talking a fair bit again, I thought it would be nice to just pause and take a few minutes right now to do one of these practices together. So this will be a 5-minute meditation practice, much shorter than the typical meditation I would recommend you do. But let's just approach this with innocence and see what can happen for us in this collective in 5 minutes of meditation. So just take a moment now to let go of everything you've been hearing and simply allow yourself to become aware in this moment. Become aware of your own conscious presence in this moment. Become aware of what it is to be conscious here, right now. And as you sit here in the simple awareness of your own consciousness, I want to invite you to let go of the mind completely. Let go of the need to know anything right now. The mind is always trying to know and understand and interpret and evaluate. Just stop engaging with the mind. Just be here innocent and open to this moment as it's occurring, without involvement with thought, with the mind. And as you sit, as this conscious presence, not needing to know, not engaging with thought, I want to invite you to simply let everything be as it is right now in this moment. Let your experience be exactly as it is. Don't make a problem out of anything that's occurring. Welcome every part of your experience right now into this moment of presence. Just be as you are. Let everything be as it is, without resistance, without trying to change anything at all about this moment. And again, notice the quality of your own presence, your own awareness, simply resting freely in this moment, untethered to anything, open and free. And as we go through the rest of our journey this evening, I want to invite you to just allow this presence, allow anything that you just became aware of to just again remain in the background, the backdrop for the work on intention we'll be doing shortly. Thank you. Now, that was just a 5-minute meditation practice, so I want to free you from feeling like that had to be anything significant for you. It doesn't matter whether it felt like it really opened something up or not. It was just a kind of a brief experiment in consciousness. For some of you, I'm sure you had a taste or glimpse of some depth through that simple practice. Some of you didn't. That doesn't mean this practice didn't work, doesn't work for you. You might actually notice something later that you'll realize was triggered by that. But my point in bringing this up and doing this is that, you see, the practice we just did, we essentially practiced about four different aspects of awakened consciousness, of our own natural awakened essence. But the point of that is that kind of practice is something you can do. It's something you can intend, you can resolve, and then you can engage in every day, and it is bringing awakened consciousness into your life. It doesn't mean that you can just say, and then I'm going to fully awaken, because, you know, whatever we would call full spiritual awakening is something that, again, is partly something we can choose and work toward, and it's partly something that has to happen on a much deeper level, a reckoning and a kind of release on a much deeper level of our being than anything we can will or intend. So I've just outlined five different examples of kinds of things you can do very concretely that you can commit to, you can resolve to do, that will directly support your awakening. We talked about practices you can resolve to do, study, you know, programs, learning experiences you can resolve to engage in, negative patterns you can resolve and choose to leave behind, deeper awakenings you can choose to align your life with, and then, again, a very, you know, specific kind of practice that you can do to actually bring awakening into your life. So these are some of the dimensions of spiritual awakening that are within our control, that are subject to the power of our choice, of will, intention. But even if we do all of these things in earnest, there's still a dimension of awakening that lies beyond the direct influence of our will, that lies beyond our control. There is a mysterious dimension to this that requires us to step into a kind of mysterious relationship to life. And that's where I want to bring our attention to now. So, as I said a little while ago, spiritual awakening means awakening to something that's already here, to what's been called our natural state, our inherent naturalness, or our true nature. It's who we already are and always have been. So if it's so natural, why aren't we already awake? Why isn't it then how everybody is? If that's everybody's natural state on this planet, why isn't the human race more awake? So here's why. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why, but here's the part of the reason why that I want to talk about. So being awake, in addition to all those extraordinary things I just spoke about earlier, being awake also means being completely undefended. It means giving up all of your ego defenses, all of your psycho-emotional defense mechanisms, and never picking them up again. And we human beings are all incredibly defended. We have a very complex defense structure that has been mapped by psychologists in terms of the ego defenses. We also have a very powerful set of illusions operating within us, a set of biases that distort our perception of events, that influence our responses to other people, to life, that condition the way we see and perceive and engage. And being awake means leaving all of that behind And it feels incredibly risky, even hazardous, to our conventional ego structure, to the person we have known ourselves to be up to this point. Being awake means the end of being free to avoid uncomfortable truths or uncomfortable situations. It means leaving behind your personal story and all your investment in it, whether it's a story of self-importance or of self-deprecation, because the ego will take either of those forms and defend it. I'm this kind of person. I'm that kind of person. I'm the most important person. I'm the least important person. And often it's a mix of both. Being awakened means we can't go back to that. Can't live in it anymore at all. It's over. Being awake means being a wholehearted yes to life, to what life brings you, 100% of the time. It means you've given up any room to be ambivalent or half-hearted about anything ever again. Being all in, all the time, without the option to not be. You see, although in our deepest longing we want to be awakened, there is a big part of us that does not want any of what I just spoke about. There's a big part of you that doesn't want any of that. Can you feel it? Could you feel it for any of those? Like, oh, gee, being undefended, not avoiding anything, facing everything, being a wholehearted yes all the time. What about when I'm tired or I don't want to or I'm uncomfortable or I can't deal with it or I'm overwhelmed? I have to just show up. I have to be awake. So here's kind of the bottom line of the entire path of spiritual awakening. There's a part of you that wants to awaken, that senses that awakening is the only thing that would give true meaning, purpose, and fulfillment to your life. There's a part of you that wants that deeply. And there's another part of you that doesn't want anything to do with that kind of rawness, that level of commitment, that kind of single-pointedness and intensity of living, that fierce self-honesty, aligning with love and truth in every moment without another option. So you see, that's the dilemma we as spiritual seekers find ourselves in. And often we're not even that conscious of it until maybe someone points it out like this, and then we start to study and observe ourselves on the path and we go, oh, I keep saying no. I keep saying yes, but then I keep saying no on this subtle level. I wasn't really even seeing it. This is what I call having a divided heart or a divided intention. And it really defines the human condition of the spiritual seeker. Obviously, there are all kinds of people who aren't spiritual seekers who don't have that division because they're not trying to be enlightened. They're not trying to step into their higher nature, so there's not a lot of division. There's just, I'm doing what I want and living my life. But the moment we're on a spiritual path now, there's this division within us. So I want to speak for a moment about why I'm calling it a divided heart and why the answer to it is what I would call an undivided heart. So I just want to talk about the heart for just a moment. Because when I'm talking about the heart, I don't mean your physical heart, and I don't even mean your heart chakra or the energy center of your heart per se, although maybe both the physical heart and the heart energy are included in this in some way. But what I'm talking about is I'm using it in a more metaphorical sense or that's related to almost colloquially the way we hear it spoken about. When we say, you know, when we say we put our heart into something, or we say she was so wholehearted in the way she showed up, or we say he tried to do a good job, but his heart wasn't in it. In other words, I'm using heart in the sense of our passion, what we truly care about, what we most deeply want. It's like our motive, the motive force of our character, what drives us in the world. When your heart's in it, you find you have access to resources that you never, you know, imagined. When your heart's not in it, it's just very hard to move. So the reason spiritual awakening is so incredibly rare on this planet isn't that nobody wants to awaken. It's that those of us who want to awaken also want something else that's in conflict with awakening. And as long as this division is in operation within us, we'll be able to make, you know, progress in some of the ways I spoke about earlier. But we will not be a space within which awakening can truly occur and take root. We will not be we will not be fertile soil for the mystery of awakening to plant itself, grow and flourish. We'll keep up, even if it gets planted for a moment, we'll uproot it the next day with a different choice we made. We'll make a choice that's in alignment with our awakening, and then we'll make another choice that's not, and we'll just keep going back and forth. And we won't truly open to this higher potential. But here's the extraordinary thing. Because although this is not something that we can use our will to directly control, it doesn't mean that we can't do anything about it. You see, there's something you can do that is actually, it's actually just as significant as if you could simply choose to be awakened. Like, wouldn't that be the ultimate thing if we could all just, oh, I choose to be awakened, boom, and it happened, right? But this is almost as significant as that, maybe as significant. Because although you don't, none of us have the power to cause awakening, to simply cause it through our will. We do have the power to clarify our intention. We have the power to once and for all resolve the division in our heart. In other words, you can decide once and for all that awakening is the only thing that matters to you, or the thing that matters most. And from that, you can choose a life that is completely aligned with the energy of awakening, with the intelligence and wisdom of awakening. Because it will now be revealing itself to you in each moment. Because when our heart is no longer divided, when there's nothing we want more than to discover and embody our true nature, there's nothing in our way then. Then spirit or God or awakened consciousness can't help but show up and lead. We've removed the only obstacle there ever was, our divided heart. And when we do this, we find everything in our life starts to become clear. The way to live in each moment reveals itself, and the power and strength to follow the way shows up from somewhere beyond us as well. The reason I said this is essentially as significant as being able to choose to be enlightened is that you really can't tell the difference between an enlightened person and someone who has come to an undivided heart. Because when you have an undivided heart, there's nothing preventing you from following the way, and the way is the way of enlightened living. So now your actions, your choices, your words, everything starts to emanate that. It starts to flow from that. It starts to manifest that. It was only having mixed motives and unclear intention, this division within us, that prevented this higher order of being from coming forth. So if awakening's the thing you want the most, everything gets very simple. You have an undivided heart. That heart will guide you. All you have to do from that moment forward is listen to the heart, follow the clarity it brings. And when I talk about the heart, I'm talking about a faculty that transcends and includes all other faculties. So it's not that, you know, your intellect isn't relevant. It's not that your emotional sensitivity isn't relevant. All of that is relevant, but it's now in service to one thing, to living your life aligned with this profound depth of your true nature. Now, how do you, and I know some of you are saying, well, okay, sounds good, but how do I know if I have an undivided heart? How would I know if I was listening to the right thing inside me? I've been deluded about that before. I've done things I thought were my responding to my intuition that didn't pan out very well. Here's how you know. Because when you're living your life with an undivided heart, it being adhering to what it's requiring of you, it will be opening you ever more deeply to the sacred mystery of your true being, your true nature. And this will demonstrate itself through increasingly enlightened actions that will have an increasingly positive, enlightening impact on the world and others around you. And you will discover a growing capacity for infinite compassion, for profound intuitive wisdom, for a dynamic, free responsiveness in the face of what life brings your way. And if that's opening more and more, you know you're following the undivided heart at that point. It's self, what's the word I'm looking for? Self-validating. It's self-validating. It keeps showing that it's the right path because it's of where it's taking you. So this is the great possibility. And I hope you can sense that in that possibility, then all of the more concrete things we talked about earlier, the more things we can, will, and can do, and can resolve to do, now would be infused with a tremendous transcendent power. It wouldn't just be you, the individual, doing these things. It would be this great higher consciousness now doing those things, which would just add that much force and momentum to every one of them. And that's real. When the spiritual path is really working, that's what it's like. That's how it works. That's how it feels. That's how it's experienced. Everything is supercharged with the energy of the source itself because we're now no longer divided about that. We're undivided, and therefore that luminous force of the sacred can flow into everything. There's nothing blocking it. So, now we're going to go into our process of reflection. And so, as we go into this, I just want to note that it could be helpful to have a writing journal or a pen and paper. It's not essential for this. It depends what kind of person you are, but there are things you may want to capture and write down. You could do this as a journal exercise, or you can just do it as a contemplative exercise and just listen, and I'll just guide you through it. So, if you want to write, just let's take 1 minute now, and let's all of us just take 1 minute and just stretch our bodies because we've been listening now for an hour and 9 minutes. So, grab your pen and paper if you want one. Otherwise, just kind of stand in place and stretch for 1 minute. All right. I'm going to assume you got what you needed, and we're going to dive in. So you can do this partially with your eyes closed if you want. If you're an eyes closed kind of person, you can also do it with your eyes open. Doesn't matter. So to begin, I want to invite you to become present to your deepest longing for spiritual awakening, the place we started the evening, maybe enhanced now from everything we've explored. But just allow yourself to become present to that which brought you here this evening, that which brings you to your spiritual practices. In the deepest way you can, just allow yourself to open to and be impacted by this drive for spiritual depth, illumination, enlightenment. What is your own deepest knowing or sense of the potential for awakening? This might be rooted in a previous or present experience that you've had or are having right now. Don't conceptualize it, but allow yourself to become present to it, to bring it into consciousness. When I say become present, I mean bring it into consciousness, bring it into awareness. It's not just a thought, it's not just a feeling, it's something. It's a sense of a possibility. So right now we're tuning into it in our own experience. And I now want to invite you to take a moment to reflect on your experience of great spiritual beings that you've encountered in whatever way, in person, through their writings, through stories about them, the sages, the wisdom keepers, the great masters, ancient and contemporary, your spiritual inspirations, who inspires you. And just become aware of what that is. What did they embody? What do they embody? What do they bring into the world? What about them is so extraordinary? And feel into that. What is that that they are demonstrating? And where does it come from? What is so extraordinary about it? We're bringing all of that into consciousness, attuning to it, tuning into it. to invite you to contemplate the significance of awakening. Why does your awakening matter? Why does it matter to you? What would it mean for your life if you were to awaken to and embody this higher potential? Just sense into the significance of your own life as a fully awakened being in this world. And what is the significance of your awakening for other people, for the other people in your life now, and for all the other people you might encounter? Why does your awakening matter for all of them? And again, you can think about this, you can reflect on it, you can write about it, or you can just sense into it. Why does the whole world need your awakening? Think about the state of our planet and the significance of having more awakened human beings in our midst, bringing clarity, compassion, graciousness, perspective, wisdom to whatever spheres of influence each of us is working within. Really being the solution. Just tune into that. Okay, now this one, I want to invite you to open up to the greatest context for your awakening. Why is awakening important for something even beyond this world? Why does awakening itself need you to awaken? Why does the cosmos, the inner life of the cosmos, or the divine, or evolution itself. Again, I'm not trying to get, you know, a lot of people don't like the word God, and I'm not attached to it either, but I'm just, whatever the most sublime, supreme, ultimate, universal context is for you in your own way of relating to this cosmos, why does your awakening even matter for that? And now I want to invite you to allow all of these levels that we just explored, allow them all to come together in your deepest heart of hearts. And just come to rest in the part of yourself that only wants to awaken. It really doesn't want or need anything else from this life. Part of you that wants to live in complete alignment with the source, with that which matters most. And just allow that to grow or to deepen. And if it's true for you, only if it's really true for you, allow yourself to let the most important thing really be the most important thing to you in this and every moment for moving forward. Allow yourself to resolve deep at the deepest level of your being. To prioritize this higher dimension, the awakening to this deeper truth. Allow yourself to prioritize it above all else. That's all it means to have an undivided heart. It means that you know what is most important and you never waver from it. Doesn't mean other things aren't also important relatively. They're just always less important than the most important thing. Then there's no division anymore. First things are always first, no matter what it takes in each moment to put them first. So this is between you and you. This is between you and the ultimate. So make this your own. Do it in a way, not the words I spoke, but in a way that's completely true and real for you. And just allow yourself to settle into it for a moment. To embrace it. To embody it. Feel the energy of it and the potential of it. Okay. There are three more parts to this, but they won't take as long as that part. So, rooted in the clarity of what's most important, of what it is to have an undivided heart, I want to invite you to scan over this last year, looking through this lens, looking at your own choices through the lens of really appreciating the times that you made choices that were most deeply aligned with your spiritual heart. What sacrifices did you make to follow your longing to awaken? What risks did you take for it? What choices did you make? When did you prioritize it? When were you most on track? Again, you can jot this down, or you can just sort of scan it and, you know, bring things to awareness and reflect on them. Clearly, this is something that's been moving in you. This is not the beginning of your clarification of intention. So where has this already been driving you? And each time you think of something or become present to something, just allow it to strengthen your intention and resolve. Knowing, just feel, oh, I've already been choosing in alignment with this. I have momentum. Because spiritual awakening, all of this, there's a lot about momentum. There's a momentum of ignorance, and there's a momentum of awakening. And it's just that we have to get the momentum of awakening to be stronger than the momentum of unawakening. And that's another thing. That's another way of describing what an undivided heart is. So, allow yourself to appreciate this movement within you that's already been a priority for you. And also, look at where it wasn't. Look over the last year, and where did you follow lesser motivations and impulses? When did you not prioritize the most important thing? And what was the result of that? Not from a point of view of self-criticism or self-judgment, just from a point of view of really clarifying, seeing the difference. This is just a process of clarification of your heart. Here's where I followed it, here's where I didn't. And the goal here is not to have an exhaustive list or analysis, but just to be looking from a high enough level to see the momentum in your spiritual life. Now, rooted in the powerful intention that we settled into, and then the clarity of looking back over the last decade, let's take a look at the year ahead. We don't have to talk about the whole decade. A year is enough to bite off. So this year, you're going to let the most important thing be the most important thing in your life. What does that look like? I'm going to ask you two questions about it. What will you need to leave behind? By that I mean, and this is a lot, what attitudes, habits, beliefs, behaviors will you need to leave behind? So you look ahead and you sense, I'm now living my life aligned with the highest potential, and that's the most important thing always in each moment. What are you going to have to let go of and leave behind? If you're journaling at all or have anything to write, this would be probably the most important moment of this exercise to jot down some things, to make it concrete. This is where we're getting concrete in these next couple things. Behaviors, attitudes, habits, beliefs. That you need to leave behind or let go of to live your life with an undivided heart. See, if you're really resting in the undivided heart, the answers to questions like this are so obvious. It's sort of like you could write up, you know, everybody could come up with 20 things or just, oh yeah. That's what the undivided heart does. It makes everything clear. The reason questions like this are confusing sometimes, because we have a divided heart. We're not sure what we want most. And we're not sure about leaving this behind or that behind or the other thing, but we want to convince ourselves we don't need to leave that behind. That's not in the way. Once you set your sights on the path, clearly the way reveals itself. And the way is what you need to leave behind, what you need to no longer listen to. And the next part is, what do you need to embrace or lean into or step into? What behaviors, habits, beliefs, and attitudes, what truths, what realities, what's the new life that you need to live to be true to what your undivided heart is showing you? So you can move into that now. What do you need to embrace, open to, step into be true to this? the last step, we're just going to take that to one deeper, one further level of concreteness. You may have already covered this, but what concrete commitments do you want to make right now in the clarity that you're in to follow through on your deeper intention to awaken? What spiritual practice commitments do you want to make? Do you want to commit to meditate every day or do another practice every day? And for how long? You want to commit to do a half an hour a day, an hour a day? You're going to commit to take a self-retreat once a month for a day or half a day and really give yourself to your spiritual practice? Or have, you know, 3 hours every Sunday? You know, let just, what kind of commitment is meaningful that you can get behind? Here's the thing with making a commitment to practice. Make it something you can do and that you will do. You don't want to overcommit and then underperform, because that undermines your whole, it undermines your whole commitment. So again, you don't have to do this right this minute. You could come back to this. You could think about it for a day or two and come back and say, okay, here's what's realistic. But anyway, I'm just inviting you now, because here's the thing. If you're experiencing any deeper spiritual clarity as a result of this workshop, you want to harness it right now to make as many decisions about your practice and your life as you can. I don't mean big ones like I'm going to sell my house and quit my job. You know, get anything big like that, give it some time, get sleep on it, talk to people. You know, big decisions, we don't want to be impulsive, but commitments like I'm going to really put my practice, I'm going to stop doing this, I'm going to start doing, you know, important commitments, those. Make them when you have the blazing clarity. In the moment of when there's no ambivalence, no division in the heart, that's the moment to anchor it. And any other commitments you want to make. Now, a couple quick things about, and again, you can come back to all this. You'll have the audio tomorrow. You can re-listen to this kind of half hour section that we just went through if you want to go through it and develop any of this more, flesh any of it out with a journal. You can do that another time. So we're done with that. I want to say just a few things about how to make that really work and stick. So because we're talking about a very radical change that has both a kind of, it has some very concrete components to it, perhaps. It also has some subtle components to it. I want to talk about each of those. So when it comes to the concrete part, what do you do if you falter, if you don't stick to it? You just committed to meditate 30 minutes every day and you miss a day. What do you do? It's very helpful to know, to have a plan in advance for how you're going to make it up to yourself. In other words, to not figure out what to do when it happens. To assume it's probably going to happen. There will be a day this year or more than one when you don't meditate, whatever reason. You weren't feeling well. You were traveling. Your plane got delayed. What, you know, things happen in life. Some crisis at your house. A pipe burst and the house was torn apart. You know, whatever. Things happen. Family crisis. So, but it's important to not just let it, like, you know, just, oh, I'll just start again tomorrow. Because some part of you knows, oh, I had a commitment to do this every day and I didn't. So some part of you now goes, oh, I guess maybe it's not exactly a commitment, is it? It's sort of a, it's just a good idea. This is how the human psyche works. By the way, I'm not making this up. This has been heavily studied, how we relate to it when we break a commitment to ourselves. So in other words, it's simple to do this. You can have a makeup plan in place that says, anytime I miss a day of meditation for any reason, I'm going to make up that meditation session before the end of the week. So, or within a week. So I missed a day and I just have to do two half hours some other day. And now I'm caught up and everything's okay. I didn't break my commitment, did I? I kept my commitment and I just used my catch-up method. Or I'm going to catch up before the end of the month. So when each calendar month ends, I will have done the exact amount of meditation I committed to. And believe me, is it something funny about human nature, but it's sort of like you make a contract with yourself, and then if you break the contract, there's a part of you that says, oh great, the contract's broken, so I can't re-break it, I already broke it, so now it's no longer a contract. And then we miss another day for a different reason, and pretty soon we're like, oh man, I'm really not meditating, only, you know, 3 days a week now. What happened to my big commitment? And it's very undermining to this purity that we're trying to cultivate. I hope if you felt anything here tonight, it's the kind of purity of intention that spiritual awakening really requires, this undivided heart where we're really putting our entire life before the altar of a profound mystery that we can sense, we can feel, we know it's the most important thing, but we can't hold on to it. We can't grasp onto it. We can't control it. We have to surrender to it. We have to submit ourselves to it. We have to allow it. We have to make room for it to come in and begin to operate and guide us and empower our whole life with its glory. But, you know, this is a very subtle thing. It requires incredible self-honesty and a profound amount of integrity in the self. And so these little kind of tips I'm giving you are to help you maintain the integrity needed in the self to be able to follow through. And so that was on the concrete things. On the broader intention to awaken, I just want to say that it's useful to have touch points on that. You know, on this broader intention to put first things first, to follow my undivided heart. You can have a touch point at the end of every day where you look back on your day. How did it go today? Did I do it? Write in your journal about it. Or at the end of each week, you know, how did this week go? Where did I not? Where did I slip? Where did my heart become divided again? And what would it mean for me to not do that again? And, you know, to have specific touch points where we have a real reality check. Am I putting first things first? Where am I? Where am I not? What's it going to take to shift that? It's also valuable to have an accountability partner, or better, an evolutionary partner who you can talk with about this process. Not all of us can find that so easily in our lives. You know, if you're in one of my courses or programs, it's, you know, there's a lot of people you could connect with there and find that, and hopefully you have that in other people in your life as well. But to have someone that you, you know, can make this not just an internal matter, but an external one that you're really sharing as well, can help a lot. So, I hope that it's my biggest hope is that you will look back on this year and see the impact of what we did here together tonight, and see the impact of this very profound intention that I hope you said yes to and took a step into, because it really is possible to awaken and incredibly meaningful, especially at this time in human history, I think more than ever. The world really needs all of us who can sense this possibility to embrace it, to heed the call. So I'm really with you on your path, and hoping that the things that you stood for tonight will really make a difference for you. And I just want to also encourage you that, you know, if this doesn't all crystallize and click right now, but you sense there's something in it that you want to pursue, keep pursuing it, keep deepening into it. You'll have this audio, you can listen to it again. There were a lot of elements in this that I tried to pack into an hour and a half, and there were some pretty deep transmissive components to this that we can really listen to again, and that might take you deeper the second time. So please use this tool and all the other tools that we try to make available to you, and Godspeed. Have a wonderful and an amazing year and decade ahead. Bye-bye.